A high-level chef realized that she was losing her vision. So what did she do? She started training blindfolded. And now she has the blind kitchen. We're going to talk to her today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, Evan?
Evan.
I hope you guys are hungry, because today we have a real deal, legitimate chef in the house. Chef Deborah Erickson. She is the executive chef and founder of The Blind Kitchen. And man, does she have an amazing story for us today. So without further ado, welcome Chef Deborah to the show. How are you?
Welcome, Chef Deborah.
Welcome, Deborah. I am good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It is our pleasure to have you on the show. I cannot wait to talk to you about your company, how you got The Blind Kitchen started.
Yeah. So I am blind. I have retinitis pigmentosa, which is a degenerative disease over time. And I've had symptoms since I was 17, but I really lost it in my early 50s. And so that's when I had to go to the Oregon Commission for the Blind to get my blind skills. And so I had been a teacher in a past life, and I knew I wanted to teach. So I was at the Oregon Commission taking Braille and adaptive devices and just all the different orientation mobility. And one of my classes was meal prep. Now, in a past life, I was a recreation therapist at a VA hospital, and I was also a teacher at San Jose State, and I was also a teacher at Oregon Health and Science University, and I loved teaching adults. You can have the kids. I like teaching adults. It's a little different environment. And so I knew I wanted to go back to teaching, but I didn't know what I wanted to teach. So as part of my voc rehab, another class I had to take was meal prep. And I was they're the ones that blindfolded me. I didn't know anything about cooking with vision loss. And I didn't know very much about cooking, to be perfectly honest. So I was in the kitchen with my instructor, who is blind herself. And now she's my dear friend. But she put a blindfold on me. And so that was when I started actually cooking with vision loss, and specifically with no vision. I can't see through a blindfold. And so when I was about the third class, and I didn't know what I wanted to teach yet. I could go back to teaching mediation or professional writing, but I thought I'd be frustrated because I couldn't do it the way I'd always done it. So I wanted something brand new. And so I thought, oh, I can teach cooking. This is fun. I'm enjoying the camaraderie. And then the light bulb went off because I really didn't know how to cook. I raised two sons. The youngest one is 6'5". So I did something right, but I mostly just opened cans and boxes and microwaved because the reason I didn't know how to cook is, one, I had no interest in it. And I'm one of 12 children. And so my mother was always pregnant and and seven daughters. She didn't have time to spend one-on-one time with us in front of a stove. So, and I wasn't that interested in it anyway. So I wasn't crying any real tears. But then when I thought, okay, I want to teach cooking, and I'm a very structured person, skills-based. So I was starting to research it, and recipes and getting supplies and cleaning and organization, not to even mention the cooking methods. And I thought, I finally came to the conclusion where people teach cooking is in culinary school. And so the Oregon Commission for the Blind supported me going to culinary school, and I was the only blind student in the class. And so I had to learn to solve a lot of problems. And so I graduated in June of 2019. All I wanted to do was go teach adults cooking at the Oregon Commission for the Blind, which I did. I started in June, and I cooked and taught and loved it, was very happy. And then March of 2020 hit and COVID happened. And so it was there was so much confusion around COVID. Could you be in the same room with people? Did you need to take the vaccine? Did you have to wear gloves? It was just a should everything be outdoors? It was a very confusing time. And we've learned a lot since then. But at the time, no one really knew. Everybody was trying to figure it out. So I was put on pause, sent home for a year and a half while things settled down. And while I was home, I thought, culinary school is brutal. I mean, it is really, it's 6 hours a day, 4 days a week, and a lot of memorizing. So we do eggs 1 week, and I would just have time to memorize and get through that. And then it'd be poultry the next week. And so, but I didn't have time to organize the stuff. So I used that time. And I thought, you know, this information would be helpful to a lot of people. I know it would be. So I put it all together. And then I started the Blind Kitchen, but I had 1 foot in the Commission for the Blind and one in the Blind Kitchen. And I was able to do that for about 6 months. But eventually I was dropping balls at both ends. It was just impossible to keep up with all of it. So I took a leap of faith and I went with the Blind Kitchen. And it was a leap of faith because Commission for the Blind, the wages were funding the opening of this new business. You don't make money the first day you open the door. And so it ended up working out okay. I'm here with you guys.
Congratulations. Great.
Yeah.
A great story.
Thank you.
So, all right. So I have so many questions. So, one of the things, I guess, when you are learning to, first off, when you're a chef and you are trying to teach yourself to cook without, you know, the use of your eyes, to me, and I'm sorry to sound so uneducated about this, but that seems dangerous. Seems like, you know, even when I'm cooking with my eyes, like I've worked in restaurants, I've worked in my kitchen, I've got the scars to show for it. What was that like when you were getting used to that process? How did that go?
It was terrifying. I didn't have any idea how I could keep myself from getting cut and burned and embarrassed in cooking with vision loss. But my instructor at the commission got me started on it. But I was able to then say, okay, I can get these basics down. I know how to keep from burning myself. I've got the right equipment. I've got the right techniques. And I know, I mean, if you worked in a restaurant, I don't know if you ever used cut-resistant gloves. I had never heard of them.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I did a work experience at a high-end deli grocery store combination, and all the cooks were required to wear them long before they knew they'd have a blind person coming to work for them. So it was a thing. So there are things out there that aren't meant for blind and visually impaired, but they sure can help us along. And the idea is just getting the word out there. I mean, those are good for if you're even grating food. How much knuckle skin have you lost in grating cheeses and potatoes and stuff?
Yeah, using mandolins too. I can't tell you how many times I've...
It sounds like you know how to make a kitchen accessible and, accessibility. They say a lot of it was... You know, great things that we have in our world were created for people with disabilities, and now everybody enjoys it. So it sounds like you know how to make a kitchen accessible. Is there other things that you felt were great tools in learning, especially, you know, as we, you know, interviewed other people that lost their sight at later age? So talk to us a little bit at more ways that you were looking at making your kitchen accessible and made it possible.
You know, what was interesting was once I started learning about all this stuff, it's like about 90% of the tools sold in the Blind Kitchen aren't meant for blind people, just like those cut-resistant gloves, but they sure can help us along. And so what I think one of the things that drove me was I thought, if I'm creative, I can solve a lot of problems. If it were some that I can't solve, I still can't frost a cake. I think other people can do it and use a piping bag and all that. I've found kind of a workaround, but it's not perfect. That I haven't figured out. But I have figured out so many, me and learning from other people as well, there are so many ways to do things that become accessible, even though they already existed in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is a long wooden spoon. How is that blind friendly? And I'll tell you, and then you'll get kind of how the Blind Kitchen works. One, it has to be a long handle because then it can't fall down into the pot it can't fall down into the pot because it's too big.
Right.
If you've ever tried to rescue a stainless steel tool from underneath a simmering marinara, it's no fun.
Yeah.
The other thing is wood does not conduct heat. So I can leave that spoon in that pan for most applications.
Right.
The other is if I'm disoriented, I'm not sure where that pan is, I can hover above the pan and touch the wood
and feel
spoon,
the wood.
Getting ready before that I can be ready to touch the hot steel. And the other thing, it makes me a cleaner cook because even when I could see, I could take that spoon out of the pan and knock it on the side of the pan to get rid of it all, and I'd still have a river of red going back and forth between the spoon rest and the burner. So this way I can just leave it in, and it makes me a cleaner cook. I don't have to worry about transferring it to to a spoon rest. So
that's a great trick for me. I can't hand those ladle things. I always get them dirty.
I've got a couple questions for you. First, the question about you, and then about a typical person. For you, you were so motivated in trying to figure out how to be a high level chef without vision. How long did it take you before you felt comfortable doing all the things that you're doing, you know, working at a high level in a kitchen from when you first started your training without vision?
It probably took about, I'd say, 8 or 10 months. And a lot of that time when you're doing a culinary training like that is learning the geography of the place, the real estate.
Right.
There's so much equipment and stuff. The other thing that I didn't think about, but socially, it was challenging. People weren't really talking to me. They weren't being rude. They just didn't know how to talk to me or if they hurt my feelings. And if you can't make eye contact with people in the class. Yeah.
All right.
So the communication in culinary kitchens is very helpful. Just like you see on the shows, behind you, chef, yes, chef, door chef, that lends itself well to vision loss. But to get involved in different conversations and stuff, I can't just butt into two people, hear them talking, overhear them, and then find a way to get in there. It's not my style. So eventually they learned after we paired up and stuff like that, that I wasn't going to melt and I wasn't going to sue them. And and I could hold my own.
No, that's a real thing. I know we're giggling about it, but like that's probably a real concern for a lot of people, right?
It is. They don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want to hurt my feelings. Yeah. And even things like common knowledge, like I'll see you later. And then, what have I done? What have I done? We talk that way too. You know, it's you're not going to hurt my feelings. That's the way our world words things. So yeah, it's interesting to interact in a world that's not visually impaired.
Yeah. So a motivated, experienced chef, it took you 8 to 10 months before you felt like really comfortable in a kitchen. Take a typical, you know, a non-professional, non-motivated person who's going through vision loss. And I'm sure you work with people like that. Like we were just talking to somebody who lost their vision around 40 years old. That person needs to learn how to like prepare meals and cook in their house. How long when you're working with somebody like that does it take before they feel comfortable cooking in their kitchen?
So I taught adults at the Oregon Commission for the Blind, and they would usually take, I'd have them jump in right away. So the oven is less daunting than the stovetop. And I never had to teach anybody how to use a microwave. Everybody knows how to do that. Even if you're, you know, blind from birth, you come into my, you can do that. But the oven is less intimidating because when you close the door, the food is safely inside the heat. You're not going to get burnt once the door is closed. It's intimidating when you open it, when that whoosh of hot air comes out, doing the racks, making sure your thing's level.
Right.
That part's intimidating, but that only takes about 2 minutes and then you're safe again for a while. And so we started out with that lesson where I'd let people, if they had seen before and knew the geography of the oven, I didn't go through it, but I had a lot of young adults just out of high school that had never touched a stove before. They hadn't been allowed to. So I'd show them the broiler, show them the heating elements, show them while it's all still cold and it's building trust. And so they make bacon or veggie burgers on the very first day when they had never even been allowed to be near a stove or oven before. And so you just start with the basics, and different people have different fear levels and different people have different knowledge levels and coordination levels. It just varies so much. And how do you want to cook? Are you vegetarian? Are you a carnivore? You know, that's going to make a difference in the cooking techniques that you'll use and how long it'll take you to learn those.
Yeah. It's amazing the things that you don't really, you take for granted until you Azure site. And I visited Visions in New York City, and as we were touring, they actually had a group of people that had just cooked their first meal. And this one woman had almost a year with not cooking eggs, and it was the first time. And she talked about how scared she was. So we just, again, I really appreciate you framing that, because it's something that, you know, you don't realize until, you know, you're talking about this and how much we rely on our eyesight for cooking.
It's true. It's true. But you just have to switch it to other senses, smelling, hearing. I focus a lot on the science of cooking because I'm, you know, data driven. So that's the way I work. There's another chef out there that lost vision. He was a chef for like 30 years, and then a chemical accident, he lost his vision. And his way of teaching people is all through texture, touch, smell, aroma, sound. And I certainly use all of those, but his vocabulary is very different than mine when teaching how to cook a meal. And both are valid, absolutely valid. But some people are going to adapt better to maybe his method as opposed to mine. It just depends on your personality and your background.
Well, you know, our show is called Driven by Purpose. And we talk about, you know, people who are really, really motivated by the financial side of it, but something deeper than that. And with the Blind Kitchen, which you've created, and you really have created such an amazing business, you know, with you're selling products, you are you've done on social media with the content. I mean, it's a really multifaceted business. It's very impressive. What drives you to go to work every single day? What's behind all of this?
Well, I think it's because I've worked so hard. It's been a labor of love. I have an excellent team that does my website, my marketing, that does the videographer. He's amazing. And they've all been with me from the beginning. And we've just worked so hard on this. So some days when we're going to film at the studio, or, you know, there's some other thing I really don't want to do, maybe a tax form or something like that. I just have to find a way to do it. I guess I have to say quitting isn't an option for me. It is just not an option. I can get tired, I can get overwhelmed, and then I can walk away for a few minutes, but I've never said I'm going to throw it in yet. Not yet. I don't think I will. I don't think it's who I am.
Do any of the people on your team have vision impairment or any other type of disability?
No, they don't. And I met them when I was starting this business during COVID. I took a class from the Small Business Administration. And one of the things they told me, which was very motivational for me, was find out what you love to do, what you would, you know, do for no money at all, and then find a way to get paid for it. And so that was her thing.
Great advice.
I have had one disabled contractor. He had vision loss too, and he helped us with the bags and the labels. But when I was starting up a business, I needed to have strong people. Like blind people do websites. They can definitely do websites. They can do podcasts. Absolutely. You know, run their own. But I don't want to learn to run a website. I have no interest in that. Videography might be a little more challenging, but if you have enough vision, you could probably do it. And social media. I respond to social media. I love the whole theory of it, but I don't want to sit there behind my computer all day doing it. I'll write the content and have someone else post it. So if I could find someone in my area if one of these team members should leave, which I hope they don't, I would absolutely hire someone with vision loss to come in behind them if they were qualified. So this is a call to action. Get qualified.
Yeah. Sure. One of the things that Isaac and Mike do every single year is they have their massive event. And Isaac, I'm going to let you kind of take it from here. on your Dining in the Dark. But I think it's an amazing event. And I just kind of thought it would be appropriate to talk about it here, where they have this massive event where they bring in people from all over the country to experience, you know, because Isaac's mom is visually impaired. And one of the things that they do at Clean Logic is, you know, they have Braille on their packaging, and they're big supporters of, helping out the visually impaired community. And they bring in people to experience, eating a meal in darkness, so they can kind of experience what it's like to be visually impaired and all that's and all that comes with it. And it really is an enlightening experience. And Isaac, I want to talk about like a little bit more like why you do it and why it's meaningful for you. And then I'm curious about the culinary experience. I want to tie that in a little bit too.
Oh, I'm already thinking, we're on the same page, Evan. I'm sitting here thinking like the evolution of Dining in the Dark, where we're going to make you cook your own meal and you're going to do it blindfolded and then you're going to go eat it blindfolded. And then
that's right.
That was already going through my head. So it's funny you're kind of thinking that. No, so, that's where the Dining in the Dark, we really do feel, and I see a lot of connection to what you're doing, Deborah, because we have so much connectivity around food and traditions. And so I think food has a lot of connectivity. And I've even learned we have a great chef who's been doing Dining in the Dark. She's the one that brought Dining in the Dark to her restaurant, to the US, the first person, and really educating people, on vision loss, but also using food as a way to show the importance of it and how, you use your vision. Like she, during the event, reads a poem, and it's amazing because I'm a very visual person. But when I remember reading the poem at our New York City Dining in the Dark, and it was like, you could hear and see myself and everything that she said in the poem. But if I didn't have the blindfold on, I wouldn't imagine it like that, So there was just a lot of things that we see that really raise awareness and what we feel is important is people, I feel, don't take action unless they feel like it impacts themselves. And we're not trying to say this is how people live their life, but it's that moment where we can get people to think about that connectivity and really around disabilities and, that moment in time. So I really love what you're thinking, Evan, here of how do we go to the next evolution of culinary pieces, or how do we do that? Because I think this is another way. Food is fun, and that's where I think
it's been so. I mean, the impact that Dining in the Dark has had already, and that's just people sitting down and having that experience of just eating the food. I mean, imagine I can imagine
different level,
right? A whole other level of
the Dining in the Dark. Like, I've never met anybody who's come out of a Dining in the Dark that hasn't said, "Oh my God, that experience blew my mind," and they still talk about it years later, turning it up a level.
And you would think something that you've done since you were a child, eating three meals a day, pulling a fork to your mouth, it disappears when you can't see anymore. I took my salad. They were like, air bite, air bite, air bite. it's amazing what you think would be muscle memory is not. And trying to cut food on your plate.
I haven't been to a Dining in the Dark event yet, but when I was in London, when I was in college, I went to a restaurant called Dans Le Noir, which was a similar experience. And the staff there was visually impaired as well, but it was the same concept of it was pitch black. And I just remember kind of what you're explaining, Isaac, and Deborah, where I was like, I've done this thing every day of my life, but all of a sudden the lights are off and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And that has stuck with me, exactly what the point you guys are making. It's like, I know it's radically different than experiencing what a blind person experiences day in and day out, but it does kind of, it gives you a moment to be like, hey, this experience that you're experiencing for a moment, multiply that times a million. And it's like, it's not just eating food. It's every single thing. And as you know, we're all sitting here, we are in the disability world, and we know what it's like to be in this full time. And it's like, what I appreciate what you're doing, Deborah, with the Blind Kitchen, is you are providing a service to people who need something. And it's a, what you're doing is people take it for granted, like preparing food every single day. It's like, when my kids come home, I got to make the meals. But it's like, to be visually impaired and to have to do that if you're living by yourself or if you have kids or whatever it is, it just, it's such a greater, a much more difficult thing to do. And to have somebody like you that can explain it to, that actually has a program, a plan to make life easier. Like, that's such an amazing thing that you do. And I know that you enjoy it and food is your passion. And I read on your website that food is your love language, and that's all great. And I respect that so much, but you're providing so much help to people who need it.
Well, thank you for the kind words, but to be perfectly honest, like you guys do in the podcast, to give people hope, inspiration, whatever words you would use, we're privileged to be able to do that with people. And someone once said, it's you can do well by doing good, which means it's okay that if you finance it, it's okay. It's better to be doing something good than doing something bad to be able to keep this business running. So I think it is my privilege and my luck to have found something I can be so passionate about and love and be able to share it. I love what I do. And I know a lot of people that can't say that.
Driven and by I'll purpose. Say it every time. It's just why we love our show, Driven by Purpose.
Driven by Purpose.
Another great example.
Last question before I let you go, Deborah. What's the best thing you make?
Chicken marsala.
It's a good question.
Chicken marsala.
It's a great question, right? Oh, that sounds amazing.
All right.
I make a good pan sauce. Yep.
That sounds amazing. Oh, I want that right now. All right. Tell the people how to find you, Deborah. If they're looking for you on social media, where should they go?
You can go to Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And you can go to the website is theblindkitchen.com, and it has tons of free information on there as well as the tools. Or you can write to me directly at info@theblindkitchen.com. I respond to all of those emails that come into that mailbox.
Amazing. This was so great. What a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
This was so great. And hopefully we can figure out a way to get you to one of these Dining in the Dark events in the future.
Cooking
Isaac
in the dark.
And Mike, I'm going to leave that to you guys to figure out how to make that
cooking
happen.
In the dark.
But come on, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Let's stay in touch. I think we could do something creative. I think it'd be fun.
That would be amazing. All right. If you like the show and you want to support the community, remember, like, subscribe, comment, follow. We're on Substack, all that good stuff.
All that stuff.
And we will see you next time on Driven by Purpose. Thank you very much, everybody.